All right. Our last speaker for the morning is Prano Garcia. Enrique Garcia.
Good afternoon. Today, I'm going to be explaining a little bit about what I did for my master's project, and this is investigating possible causes of replanting disorders in Concord grape. First, I will give you a brief description of the Concord situations in Washington. Then I will explain you, I will give you a background of the disease, and then I will start explaining what I have done for my project and some of the results. So Concord grapes are mainly used for juice production, and Washington is the largest producer in the U.S. It's producing around 45% of the total production. And in Washington, we don't have root stocks for grapes. We use unrooted vines, which is also something important to remember. And this disease is well known in tree fruit, where studies have been going on for a very long time, and is defined as the poor growth of the replant tree. And this is pretty much when a grower wants to remove an orchard and then want to plant a new variety or a new crop, a tree fruit crop. And for some, the new plants have a very low growth rate, and if they are not treated, they can die. In this crop, in tree fruit, the causal agent has been identified as a nematodes, fungi, or bacteria, and these can vary from site to site. So, for example, in Washington, fungi can be causing this disease, but in Europe, can be nematodes causing this disease. So, this varies from site to site. And also the site condition, especially in the soil, can increase or decrease the severity of the disease. In tree fruit, the most effective technique for this disease is soil fumigation with methyl bromide, which was the most effective fumigant, but not this fumigant is not available anymore. But this was the best. They have some other fumigants that they are using now. In grapes, in Concord, this disease can be happening in two situations. First one, after the vineyard is removed, after a decline of the productivity, or it can happen also when a single vine dies and the grower wants to replace the vine. This disease has an economic impact in Concord, but in one grapes, this disease has not been found, or at least has not economic. It's not economically important. In Concord, replanting disorders are causing economic losses, and this is pretty much because the growers want to replace the vine, and they are putting like fertilizers, they are hiring people to do that, and then for some reason the growth rate is really poor, or also the vine dies. So it's pretty much just throwing money. So it's causing economical losses. And it's also limiting the industry expansion because today, after Concord Vineyard is removed, this site is not available for Concord anymore. The growers don't want to plant Concord again there, so they have to find different sites. And we don't know what is causing this disease in this crop. And because we don't know what is causing this disease, we don't know if the remediation techniques that they use in tree fruit will work or not, especially the soil fumigation. This project has two objectives. The first one is to investigate the possible causes of the disease, and the second one is to explore the potential remediation techniques. For this presentation, I will only cover the first one. When we were designing this project, we decided that our experimental variables will be soils. We collect soil from different sites, and all of them were the same soil type. And we decided that we want to group them in three different classes. The first class that we're going to call control, where we have non-cultivated soils. The second one, and we think that here the potential for having this disease is really low. The second class, where we think the potential for having this disease is moderate, we want to call the between row. And the third one, when we think the potential for having this disease is high, we want to call the in row. And we want to call it like that because we went to different sites. For the control treatment, we went to sites that didn't have any crop before. But we went also to Concord vineyards that have been replanted and Concord vineyards that have not been replanted to try to simulate the conditions for this disease. And we went and collect soils between rows and in rows, thinking that in rows we will have a higher potential for having this disease. Also, we went to orchards, apple orchards and cherry orchards, because we wanted to know if this disease will appear in case that a tree fruit grower wants to plant a Concord after removing the orchard. So from now on, in this presentation, I will be talking only on the about the six treatments that you see highlighted in blue here in this table. So after we collect the soil, we sift the soil, and we plant 140 certified vines, having 14 treatments in total by 10 replicates. We put the vines in a greenhouse for two growing seasons. And by the end of the two growing seasons, we harvest the plant. We collect some samples for dry mass analysis. After we collect the soil samples, we run some nematode counts and some chemical analysis. And in the first and the second growing season in the greenhouse, we collect shoot length, leaf area. After the first growing season and before the second one, we prune the vines and we collect some weight. And then by the end of the project, we did some collection of dry mass. The results. So as you can see in this table, in the nematode counts, even in the control treatment, we have some nematodes, which was something that we were not expecting. In the between row treatments, we also have some nematode present, but something that was really surprising is that we have a very high population of nematode in the treatment 7. It was something that we were not expecting also. But in the in-row treatments, we can see that we have also some nematode population. And some of these nematodes has been associated with replant disorders in tree fruit. Regarding the soil analysis, the nutrient content, it was pretty much about the same between the treatments. But regarding calcium, we can see the amount is really high, especially in the in-row treatment, where we can see that we have as twice as the control ones, almost. Then the shoot length for the first growing season, we don't have any significant difference between the treatments. However, we can see that control treatments have the higher values of the shoot length, and also the in-row treatments and the treatment 7, which also has some nematodes, have the lowest values. Then for the pruning weight, we have a high variability between the treatments, but again, there's not any significant difference between the treatments. Shoot length for the second year, again, no significant difference, but we can see that the treatment 13 and 11 has also the lowest values of the shoot length, but still no significant difference. This is a very important graph because when we run an analysis for the total mass, and we didn't find any significant difference in the total mass. So we decide that we want to split the mass in three different categories. And for leaf, no significant difference. But when we analyzed the wood or the shoot content, we found some significant difference. And we have in the treatment 13, one of the smaller values. I think it's the second smaller value in this category. But when we analyze the root, we can see that the in-row treatments have the two lowest values And there is a significant difference between these treatments. So after we run all of these analyses, we have a high calcium content in the soil and some nematode pressure and a smaller root. So we think that these soil factors are affecting the correct development and growth of the root. But we need to run some more analyses. We have more data to analyze to have more conclusions. I would like to thank Washington State Concord Grape Research Council for founding this project, and also acknowledge the help of LabMates and committee members of my project. And I don't know if you have questions.
Okay, we have about 5 minutes, so we're early. Thank you so much for attending this session and staying until the end. Just a quick announcement, I found a room key card right here on the back ledge. If it's anyone's card, maybe just pick it up. Otherwise, I'm going to just leave it downstairs at registration. All right, thank you so much to all the speakers. And if you have questions, just find them afterwards. Thanks.